You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Ephesians chapter 2 tonight, Ephesians 2. We are going to look at verse 8, 9, and 10 tonight, especially looking at verse number 10 together. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10 tonight. Let's stand together, please. And let's read together Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Ready? Begin. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I was in my study this morning here at the office, and I was going to give a booklet that we have from North Valley Publications, Raising Children for Christ by Ryle. And I looked up Ryle on the internet, just was looking at some things just to make sure I knew about him. He wrote in 1888, that book. It's in our bookstore. It's just a little pamphlet. I don't know if it costs $2, $3, $4, but you ought to get it. And I was giving it to a man this morning, and I read the account of Ryle. Ryle said this: I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior when I heard the preaching on Ephesians 2, 8. And that's where we are tonight. I just happened to read it. For by grace are you saved. I'm so glad for salvation. Our Father, tonight, I thank you so much for your people. I pray that, God, you would place your touch on the message tonight. We're your work. And I pray that we learn that we are your workmanship. You worked on our life to prepare us for this moment. May we be fulfilling the tasks that you've assigned to us to accomplish. Bless our moments together tonight. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 10 says, we are his. We are his. Verse 10. We are his what?
Workmanship.
I want to address that word workmanship tonight. It's something that's made for labor is the word workmanship. We are his workmanship. God saved us. Verse 8. Verse number 9. But God not only saved us, then he worked in our life. We're his workmanship. He gave us a task that he wants to fulfill. Everyone here needs to know your task in life. What is your task in life? The Bible says we are his workmanship. We're not something out of disorder. We're not something that's ugly. We are something that's perfect in the sight of God because God created us. Let me say that again. God created us. We're his workmanship. God created a purpose in your life. Are you fulfilling his purpose? God has a purpose in your life. I have watched and witnessed now for 50 years pastoring the world's greatest church, North Valley Baptist Church. I have watched people come and go for 50 years. I watch them and I've watched them. I've written it down. I've watched them leave because they got upset with an email that I sent about a building project, an email that another member sent them about something going on, and they left our church over an email. I've watched people get upset with how we handle members one with another. And I'm upset at this member and they're always focused on it. And if the pastor only knew what I knew about them, I know what you know about them. I also believe in God's grace. I've left the church. I've left the church over the handling of a discipline problem. I've left the church over my kids' backslide. Listen, when our kids backslide and reject the faith of their mother and faith of the father, that should not affect your race. Yes, you weep over it. Yes, your heart aches. Yes, your life is turned upside down, but you still have a race to run, child of God. Amen. You can stay in the race. Some of you don't know anything I'm talking about because your kids are too young. But your kids are going to grow up and they're going to have to make a decision. They'll make it generally about the first or second year of college. They may be in a Bible college, but they may say, I don't want this life. And yet it was founded in their life way back in elementary and junior high and high school. It's just coming out now. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in old time religion. I don't believe in preaching. I don't believe in Sunday night. I don't believe in all this. I don't believe in it. Some of your kids are going to deny Christ. We have folks in this room right now, your kids grew up in a church just like this or this church, and they deny Christ. They don't even believe there's a God. What are you going to do? I've watched people leave our church through the years because of sin. Always sin. I've watched people leave our church because they've raised their kids and now they're done. You name it, I've seen it happen. But God's word says, we are His workmanship. Amen. What's the next word, class? God, number one, created you. God saved you, verse 8, verse number 9. But then God says, I have a work, a task for you to accomplish. Take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to... Pardon me, Romans chapter 12. My wife says I cough too much. She's in the nursery tonight. And so she said, take a cough drop. I just took a cough drop. I'm still coughing. So I don't know. She's not right, I guess, on that. But Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. But there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I'm in 1 Corinthians. We're going to get to 1. No, you go to Romans 12. You're the right. I knew you weren't reading. I didn't know what your problem was. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Ready? Begin. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, verse number 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesying, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Men that are listening, that are pastors, you close your church on Sunday nights and you close Sunday school down. You've got people sitting in that church that have the gift of teaching. We have 154 Sunday school teachers in this church. 154 Sunday school teachers teaching the Word of God. Now, what if I cancel Sunday school? And by the way, there's probably another 154 that probably should be teaching. We just don't have the room. What would I do with those people that have the gift of teaching and I don't let them teach? God gave you, we'll see it in 1 Corinthians in a moment, and that God gave you a gift of salvation. The Bible says, our ministry, let us wait on his ministering, or he that teacheth, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or him that giveth, your gift is God gave you the ability to give, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, there's another one, you're in charge of things, let him do it with mercy and cheerfulness. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It would be good to hear the pages rustling here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, But the same Spirit, God gives gifts at salvation. I got saved 69 years ago. That night I got saved on a Sunday night, God gifted me. I didn't know anything about gifts. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. We just read of teaching gift. We read of the ruling gift. We read of the giving gift, that you have the ability to make money and support the work of God. God gives us these gifts for His purpose, for the local church. And here tonight, we see that the Bible says, and there are certain diversities gift, but the same Spirit. But the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit therewithal. God says every man gets a gift. Some get 2, some get 3. I don't think anybody gets all 9 gifts, but God says you have a gift. Amen. And the gift that God gives, it may be teaching. For one, verse number 8, is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge to the Spirit, and to another faith. Some of you have great faith. That's the gift that God gave you. God has gifted you with the gift of faith. And the same Spirit, the gifts of healing, and the same Spirit, to another working in miracles and prophecy, discerning spirits. Verse 11, but all these worketh one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man as he will. Stay right there. Now, some of these gifts have gone away. When we completed the revelation of the Word of God, that which is perfect has come, that which is imparted has been done away. But there are many of these gifts that have lasted a lifetime through the church. There are about 9 of them. Notice what the Bible says. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 14. The foot shall, if the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not the body? Is not the body the whole body? Were an eye, where's the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where's the smelling? Now everyone, God has set members, every one of them in the body, as, read this, as it pleased him. The eye cannot say, verse 21, to the hand I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet. God says in verse number 28, and God set some in the church, first apostles, and secondly prophets, and thirdly teachers, after miracles, then gifts of healing, helps. There's a gift still active today, helps. Governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? No. The answer was no in the first generation. Not all were apostles. Were all prophets in that first generation? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have the gifts of healing and to speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. I will show the way unto you a more excellent way. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. You're being very good tonight. You're listening carefully as we go through this scripture. In chapter 4, verse number 7, let's read verse 7 together. Ready? Begin. But unto every one of us, God gave you a gift. Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did God give a gift of pastors? For the perfecting of the saints. Read it. For the work of the ministry. Go back, if you will. We are His workmanship created. God created the gift that you have. I believe you'd be very wise to try to figure out what is your gift that God gave you. I believe that you ought to, sometime along the line, make an appointment with your pastor and say, what gift do you see? Or one of the pastors in the church, what gift do you see in my life? They may say, I'm going to have to pray about it for a while. Would you give me a couple of weeks to pray about it? I believe I can answer that right now, but I want to just pray about it that I don't guide you wrong. God's gifted you with something. What are you doing with the gift that God gave you, the gift of helps? Are you griping about helping people? The gift of helps, the gift of giving,
amen.
The gift of teaching, the gift of being a pastor. Yes. All these gifts that God gave, 9 of them. God has those gifts for you and for me. He, pardon me, he created you. He created me. Secondly, go back to chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship. Created. We are created. We are created beings. Salvation brought eternal life, but the workmanship that God has worked in our life, we're created in, and in secondly, Christ Jesus. Amen. The church doesn't assign your gift. Christ Jesus assigns the gift. What does God want you to do? Say, well, my gift's soul winning. No, that's not your gift. That's everybody's responsibility. There's no such thing as the gift of soul winning. That's every creature. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. We're to Acts 1:8, go into all the world in Judea, Samaria, the outermost part of the earth. We're to take the gospel everywhere. But God's gifted you. Jesus gave the gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 10. We are his workmanship. Created. One. Two. In Christ Jesus. Three, under good works. I don't know if your job is a good work or not, but I tell you what, when you exercise God's gift in your life, that's a good work. That's a good work. You know, you kids, people ran buses for you today. I imagine they fed you lunch today, and they cared for you today because they care for your souls. And I look at you kids, I tell you, I get so inspired by you. You all go to public schools, you get yourself up, you love God, you love this church, you stay to church all day, Sunday. You're here again. You know, God's gonna bring in his time a wonderful girl in your life, young fellas. Ladies, God's gonna present you with a young man that loves God. You're going to get united in marriage right here. And then you're going to have children and stay together a lifetime. Amen. Stay together a lifetime. I had a man who was a member of our church years ago, and his wife called me to make a visit on him this week. I'm going to make a visit. She said, we're still married. 65 years. But then she said this, and I've known this my whole life. She said, he never really wanted me. We're still together, but he never wanted me. I didn't measure up to his standard. That's such a sad statement. Girls, you fall in love with these boys, and boys, you fall in love with these girls till death do us part. The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, under good works. Thank God for you Sunday school teachers that taught, 154 of you taught the word of God today. Thank God for you. Thank God for the bus driver that drove the bus. Thank God for the bus mechanic that worked on those buses. Thank God for the bus captain that ran the bus. Thank God for the people that paid for the insurance of the bus today. Listen, God has a good work for you. It's a good work. Money is not good work. Position's not good work. Prestige is not good work. God has a good work for you to accomplish. Look what he continues on. Which God hath before ordained. That ordained is a powerful work. Ordained means perfectly suited. Brother Manuel, God perfectly suited you with a gift and gifts. And I watch you use your talents and your gifts for God. Every person here, God gifted you. He perfectly ordained you. He perfectly suited you for this task. You're just the right person. I wonder which one of you tonight sitting here is going to go to Nigeria, Africa. There's bloodshed going on right now. Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands. Mass graves of 5,000, 6,000. They're dumping them in those graves and killing them. The Muslims are killing these Christians. But I wonder which one of you is going to go to the mission field and reach them with the gospel. When we were in the Philippines just about a month ago, Brother Martinez, Brother Galvan, and myself, we were shocked at the number of missionaries that came to that conference, pastors. I won't name the countries they're in, but they're in third world countries. They're governed by Muslims. It's illegal to pass a tract. It's illegal to have church. And yet they run churches of 350 underground churches where the actual, I've said a week ago, the actual weekly offering for worldwide missions in a Muslim speaking country with 350 people is $7,500. They pass the plate. They come into the building. Takes them 2 hours to get in because they come in sort of not by a crowd, but to come in by one or two at a time. Takes them 2 hours to get there, 2 hours to get in. And then after the church service, they sing, and after and they preach, and they have long service, they take them 2 hours to leave that building. But God is opening up these countries of the world with the Muslim-speaking people. They're hungry for the gospel. You know, in India, we just had folks here with our missions conference going to India. India is a open field. I wonder which one of you young people are going to say, Lord, here am I, send me. I wonder about Jamaica under great water tonight. I wonder about Cebu City and those places in the Philippines that are underwater and the flooding, the typhoons that are going on. I wonder about Brazil, Brother Thiago, who's going to go to Brazil? Young people, who's going to go? Who's going to support them financially? God gave you the gift. We should never not meet the missions budget. Let's not meet the church budget. Let's not meet the building budget. But let's always meet the missions budget.
Amen.
Every single week. It's a good work. And God ordained it. God situated it that God said, you are perfectly suited for this. And then we're done. That we should walk in them. What does it mean to walk? It means to be occupied with them. Just totally occupied. You work around. You're working at this thing. I tell you, I can tell you, I've tried to use my gift of being a pastor for God. But I tell you this, friend, I love what I'm doing. I just love it. We'll take a vacation next year. We didn't get one this year. My wife had cancer and all that. That took our time. But I'll tell you, we're going to go somewhere and we'll go see it. But we really don't want to. My wife says, I just like staying home. I like coming to our church. And I'm all for vacations. And please don't anybody think that I'm looking down on you. Take a vacation or you go for Thanksgiving or Christmas to see relatives. That's so wonderful. That's great. But I tell you what, I just love doing what I'm doing.
Amen.
My wife and I were talking. She says, what's your hobby, honey? You don't have a hobby. You don't do anything. I said, I just like working. I like working. I like the house of God. I like the church.
Amen.
There's a certain smell in every auditorium that smells that church. They tore my church building down where I was saved and baptized a few years ago and put houses there, sold the property. But I became pastor of that church while I was pastoring this church. I walked in that building, it smelled just the way it did when I was a boy. Same way it smelled like when I was in high school. Came home from college, same smell. Every church has a certain scent. Maybe you don't see that. I smell it. I love coming and smelling this building. It smells so good to me. You know, God's been so good to me. Look what he says here. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Go back, I'll be done in just a moment. Go back in Genesis 45. Genesis 45, please. And as you turn to Genesis 45, it's my favorite text in the Bible. When Joseph could not refrain himself, before them all, before his brothers that sold them into bondage, that stood by them and cried and caused every man to go out from him. Stood no man with them while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren 25 years later, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? His brothers could not answer him because they were troubled at his presence. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt, into bondage. But look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. God did this. Go to chapter 50, please. Daddy now dies. They're afraid that he's going to kill him. In chapter 50, verse 20. Verse 19 says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. He spoke kindly to them. Do you know, I don't know how God's preparing you to use your gift, but look how he used Joseph with his own brothers. And he took that time in the pit, in the palace, in the prison. He took those as learning times. And a time where God was going to shape his life into what God wanted him to be. That's what our Lord Jesus did in John chapter number 18 and verse 47. He said, for this cause came I into the world. I came to die. Amen. Why did God create you? They said of Abraham Lincoln that when God created him, they broke the mold. But a preacher heard that and said, God never broke the mold. There's not another Abraham Lincoln, but God made a different mold for every person's life. And everyone is so unique. Some of you, if I asked you to come up here and preach, you'd be so afraid. That's okay. God's not giving you a gift of a loud mouth. God's giving you another gift. Maybe you're one that's quietly being blessed of God. And quietly you give to the work of God. And quietly you're funding the work of God. That's just as important as the pastor. All I'm doing is fulfilling the gift that God gave me. Would you fulfill this week as his workmanship? Workmanship. What God worked in your life. Would you fulfill it? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, I thank you for these people. This text has just so blessed my heart this week. I thank you that we're your workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, unto good works, ordained, perfectly suited for the task. God, may we get serious about what we're supposed to do for you. May we get very serious and find our gift and then work it in a lifetime, live for you.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.